Good afternoon, folks, on this great day in July. As we all well know, that half the year has already gone through. I am Maurice Cerrone from Ahene Manshaven, transmitting in the Ahene Manshaven radio studio on AM 1030, The Voice with trusted local news and talk. So we're here today, and the invitation is out to each and every one of you listening to give us a call here and enter into the conversations on what I may be talking about or some questions that you may have concerning projects that you're working on. If you have an unusual project, I'd surely like to hear about it. The phone number to call in and interact with the program today would be 520-790-2040. Ahene Manshaven in Tucson is located at 1724 South 6th Avenue. That's six blocks south of 22nd Street. We're the big yellow building about, like I said, six blocks down between 27th and 28th Street on the west side of the street. As most of you may know, that if you happen to be south of Broadway, as an example, all even-numbered addresses are on your right side or on the west side of the street. A unique feature of the way Tucson has done their addressing of the addresses numerically. Hours of operation in Tucson are from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Saturday, closed on various holidays, of which we enjoy, and many times or on certain occasions we're closed for specific family events that may occur that require a travel to long distances. Our phone number in Tucson is 520-624-7200 for the Ahene Manshaven location. The address again is 1724 South 6th Avenue. We have a Green Valley location for those of you who would like to shop in Green Valley that may be down in that area. Since our radio signal does travel great distances, the address in Green Valley is 125 West Calle de las Tiendas, Suite 103 Alpha. Hours of operation are Monday through Friday, one day less, from about 8:30 in the morning to 4 p.m. in the afternoon. The phone number on location is 520-369-4858. If you do not plan on calling in at the radio station today and you do have some questions you'd like to have asked, like many customers have, and I do express a thanks for those customers that do stop into the store or give us a call at the store concerning questions they have in projects that they're working on or have a dilemma in what may be taking place in their planning, which happens quite frequently. So I thank you very much for that activity associated with that information. I am researching various projects at the present time on behalf of customers that have called or came into the store, working out some complexities that they have or cannot figure out from that standpoint. So one of the major things that we've been working on, I have discussed this in the past to a certain extent, but it is becoming more and more prevalent. Storage in most homes, as we well know, seem to be very limited. I don't know what the reason is when someone is designing a home, whether an individual is working directly with an architect or working directly with a draftsman, draftswomen. I have to watch the politically correctness these days. Draftsperson, I guess we may say. I don't know. I guess the generic definition of some of these words from years past are no longer holding up very well. But it seems to be that, as we know, storage is very limited. I can tell you in my 1950s home that I have, you wonder who designed the whole operation because the storage facilities are just above zero if you're looking at 100 as the top-notch type operation. And one area that's really interesting is that many of us know that when you're working in when you're prepping yourself in the bathroom and you have lots of things going on, whether it's the male component or the female component, that does require a lot of things. You know, you got toothpaste, you got toothbrushes, you got flossing, you've got little probes, you have combs, you have brushes, you have hairstyling type operations, whether it's curlers or dryers, you know, requiring electricity and so on and so forth, and all the implements that go along with that. And you know, where do you put them? You may have first aid, you may have gels, you may have ointments. Let's don't forget about medications. I know many young people may not know what medications are, but when you do become in the upper maturation level, medications and supplements become rather extensive from that point of view. And you do need to have storage for them. So where do you put all this stuff, let alone the toilet paper, the Kleenex, whatever it may happen to be? So at A Handyman's Haven, we have developed a way that we could take any wall cabinet that you would like to have. We can put a mirror in the door system, or even to the extent that we can put sliding mirrors in the cabinetry themselves. We can make them basically any depth that you would like to make that cabinet. Most of the time it's 8 inches deep, which gives you a tremendous amount of storage. That 8 inches is from front to back. And with that in mind, with the sliding mirrors, you still get the mirror that you could look at and prep your face. And as Dave Ramsey says, one of the programs on KVOY, that every morning when I get up and take a look in the mirror, I know where my difficulties are for the day. And sort of cute in that aspect of it. But, you know, he's so truthful when it comes to something like that. So we do need mirrors to maybe comb the few strands of hair we have on the top of our head, or curl it, or style it, or whatever it may happen to be. But you need a place to store all the materials that are required to prep yourself for the day activities, along with any first aid equipment you may want. So storage is of a prime concern. So taking any cabinet, we can make a medicine cabinet example, of which we've done recently. We've used a 48-inch wide cabinet, that's left or right, 8 inches deep, put sliding mirrors in it, put any number of shelving in it that the customer is requesting, and you've got a tremendous amount of storage. If you happen to have a back wall associated with that type of a bathroom, you can put a mirror on your back wall also, and then you could see the back of your hair and see if anything is coming about, or the back of your shoulders, whatever may happen to be. So we could really dress up your storage in your bathrooms. I do remember one job that we did accomplish was a double bowl sink arrangement, whereby the customer had 72 inches of counter space with a single bowl in the center. I take it back. They actually had double bowls. So we took 36-inch wide cabinetry. We double mirrored them, made them 8 inches deep because they were going to be surface mounted, and centered them over the top of the bowls that were in a position, use the appropriate spaces that we may have needed. And they not only did that on their 72-inch counter with a double bowl sink, but they had the guest bathroom that had two bowls also, appropriately spaced, that was 60 inches from left to right. And we double mirrored that arrangement in order to preserve that with their nice storage, along with everything else. The unique feature is that they had pickled oak cabinets on the bottom. And the customer was requesting that the oak cabinets that we were going to supply on the top was going to have a pickle look also. And so we had to restain, sand the cabinets down a little bit, restain it to match the bottom, and it was a perfect job, and everybody was very, very happy. Well, we're coming to the end of our first segment at this time period. We'll have some more activities to talk about after we come back. John Couch is our production engineer today, and welcome, John. Looking forward to another fine program on behalf of your expertise behind all those dials, push buttons. Almost makes me think you're trying to fly an airplane over there with all those dials and push buttons that you happen to have. And for you folks that don't know, believe me, there are a bunch of switches, dials, push buttons, activity, knobs to turn, circuit breakers to monitor, and things like that in flying any sort of airplane. Anyway, John, take it away. We'll see you folks after the break. Welcome back to the Hammer Time Radio Show, transmitting in the A. Handy Man's Haven Radio Studio at 1724 South 6th Avenue. We're on frequency AM 1030, The Voice, with trusted local news and talk. We appreciate you folks listening today, and especially those that have come down to our store and talked to us about various activities. It seems as though I do talk about these things every week because there are probably many new listeners to the program, which we truly appreciate. It gives them a good overview of what we do at A. Handy Man's Haven and how we are extremely sensitive to what your requests are in producing the most excellent product for any cabinetry arrangement that you may want or any countertop arrangement. So countertops, as we well know, are utilized in many facets of a home or business, whether it's commercial, residential, or whatever it happens to be. And so we think that we have a lot of solutions to many of the activities that are required of countertops. We've put our countertops in doctor's office, commercial installations, crafts rooms, in educational institutions, as well as homes. They can go in garages and media centers and, you know, wherever you need to have a flat surface to work on. We can make tables for you. We can do booth arrangements or whatever it may happen to be. And the sizes of the countertop that you may need or the requirements for the countertop, but we could basically make any size you want, any length, any width. The only serious criteria we have is that when we make that size, we have to figure out how it gets out of the doorways of our fabrication facility, how we're going to transport it, and how we're going to get it into the area that you want to have this countertop. So that may require some different items that need to be contended with. But a little bit about laminate countertops. As we well know, that Formica was the lead company back in the 1900s that came about and patented the laminate countertops. Today, there's several companies that also provide laminate countertops, but they still are the mainstay of all countertops that are produced and utilized in homes. They've really excelled in their coloring and preparation of the countertop in the designs that are available. They can be extremely eclectic. They can also a mirror image granite, marble, travertine, slate, whatever color they want, because all it really amounts to is you take a picture of something like that and then you develop it on a piece of paper and you lay it on what we call the substrate, which is the base of the countertop. And you have the countertop. Put a nice coating on it that's going to be sustainable with the wear and tear that may occur with a countertop. So when it comes right down to it, the cost factor enters into the whole program. And I will say that many of the countertops, if you're 10 feet or more away from looking at that countertop, rarely does a person able to determine whether it's an actual natural stone or quartz or whether it is a laminate countertop. They're just that accurate when the appearance is there. We do have many home flippers, so to speak, as we call them, as well as realtors that buy and sell homes, that when the items are being remodeled, many of the countertops that we can provide are utilized continually in every one of their homes and saving a tremendous amount of money over granite. Not only do you save over the cost factor, but laminate countertops are low in maintenance compared to any other countertop that is available. So 10 feet of countertop, when I say 10 feet, obviously we're looking at left or right. So 10 feet of countertop in length with an integrated backsplash built right into the countertop and with edges available at the front that make it look rather nice and comfortable, you can obtain that from A. Handy Man's Haven at $90. That's $9 a linear foot, as we would say, folks. This is considerably less than any other countertop that you're able to purchase, be it natural stone, be it quartz, which is also a form of natural stone, but engineered to build a countertop. And they will hold up for a long period of time. I could be a personal testament to that, and that the laminate countertop in my home presently has been in there since 1970 and still is extremely functional from that standpoint. I don't worry too much about trends, which many times a customer does get concerned with trends. And as we know, trends always move. They aren't stable. They may be very trendy today, but, you know, tomorrow, whatever time tomorrow is, may not be trendy, and you may or may not like it from that standpoint. So this is considerably less than any natural stone. Natural stone, we include marble, soapstone, travertine, slate, granite, and maybe a lot of other natural stones that would be available. It's also a lot less in cost factor than using tiles. Tiles have their own problem associated with countertops. So just keep that in mind. And if you only need straight cuts when you need to have a new countertop, all our straight cuts for whatever countertops that you want are complimentary. That means if you're going to buy a 10-foot piece for $90 and you want five straight cuts in that, we'll do the five straight cuts and you'll be on your way with whatever you want to do. If you want us to build up that countertop a little bit, and what I mean by that is finish the ends for you, or if you happen to have a splice that needs to take place, that means two countertops need to be bolted together, or a 45-degree corner in the center, then there are some upcharges in order to handle that. But just the straight countertop that you could purchase any place at anywhere in Tucson, be it natural stone or laminate, we could provide you that 10-foot piece for $90. That's a pretty good bargain, folks. That can really update your kitchen without much expense associated with it at all. Again, if you have any questions, give us a call here at the studio, 790-2040 with an area code of 520. When it comes to countertops, again, we can basically provide you a countertop of any design, especially with laminate, any design, any size that you may want. So keep that in mind. One of the biggest countertops we made was 175 inches in length. That's from left to right, and had a 37-inch wing on one end of it. It took four people to move it into the home. But when we got there, we laid it down in a position, and all the installer had to do was attach it to the cabinetry that was already there. So keep that in mind when you come to countertops. We also can market for you all the natural stone countertops, as well as we handle several companies that are associated with quartz countertops. Quartz countertops itself is actually natural stone that is mined from the earth. Being quartz, it is ground up in various chunkiness patterns, so to speak, and then it's embedded in what we call a binder. A binder is sort of a common term for a polymer or some sort of liquid fastening mechanism like a glue. Much different, though, because they use different chemicals from that standpoint. So we do market those types of countertops. One of the more interesting companies associated with the quartz countertops is the Cambria Company out of Michigan. The unique feature of this company is that they are also dairy farmers when they got into the countertop business, and they probably have close to 15,000-plus dairy cattle that they provide the milk products to various companies that need that to provide their product to the industry. So Cambria is very much ahead of the game over every other person, every other company that is manufacturing quartz types countertops. So keep that in mind, folks, and we can assist you in that. When it comes to a seamless countertop, we can do that on a laminate. So if you have some splices or you have some miters, as we call them, in the corners, we could definitely eliminate the splice and miter for you. And we do have a special technique that so the countertops will not move or separate, or you'll create little divots, so to speak, that will gain all sorts of junk and trash that you may have on your counter as you're wiping the food off and cleaning it down. As far as maintenance of a laminate countertop, again, very minimal maintenance. If you know how to take a wash rag and wash it across the top of the countertop, you can handle all the maintenance a laminate countertop needs. Not so when it comes to natural stone. Man, natural stone, you know, like the granite, the marbles, the travertines, and that are high-maintenance countertops. So keep that in mind. We also handle butcher block countertops down at the store, so we have some of those available also. Well, we've completed our second segment at this time period. We're going to turn this over to John Couch, our production engineer on AM 1030, The Voice, with your trusted local news and talk. Welcome back to the Hammer Time Radio Show. I am Maurice Cerrone, transmitting in the A. Handy Man's Haven Radio Studio on AM 1030, The Voice, with your trusted local news and talk. We're here today to discuss various items in the do-it-yourselfer business that everybody gets involved with at various time periods. And as many of us know, in the construction industry, workers are of prime importance many times at the activity levels that we have to accommodate with what goes on within our personal home or even in a commercial installation if modifications or remodeling is going to take effect. So I'd like to just mention one thing. This Saturday, there was a very interesting program on KVOI. It was associated with the program on Saturday morning at 8 a.m. Is Law Matters. And they had a serious discussion this morning with the director of the Arizona Register of Contractors, Jess Fleetham. And many of the topics that were discussed there by Sherry, the host, was extremely important. And I really got infatuated with listening to that. I have met Jeff. I've been in seminars with him. He is just an excellent individual as far as the knowledge goes of construction. But if you'd like to tune into the podcast on KVOI.com, you can weave your way through the website. You can pull up that podcast, which was last Saturday, which would be today is July 21st. So we're looking at July, 13th, I believe? 12th? 20th? John is shaking his head. It'll be July 20th at 8 a.m. in the morning, and you should be able to get that podcast and listen to a lot of the comments that he talked about with the Arizona Register of Contractors. That is one protection device that all individuals who need to hire a contractor have as far as the production of work that may come about as a result of hiring somebody to do the work for you. So workers, as many of us know, in 2007 came along, the main difficulty that we had with the recession at that time period was that jobs were drying up faster than you can probably shake a stick. And it depends on how big that stick is, I guess. But when that came along, it was extremely important because in order to feed and take care of your families, many of the tradespeople were leaving town and finding work at other places, and they no doubt found a good job from that standpoint, even though they had major ties in Tucson. And as a result of that, Tucson still is in a world of hurt today as a state of Arizona, but we're not the only ones in that. The whole nation is, as well as the entire country is. A tradesman, it's been downplayed so extensively throughout the United States. And I guess in order to function in life, they think you need a college education. I've got nothing against anybody going to college if that happens to be their forte. Education in any form is extremely important and valuable, no matter where it is. It could be experience on the job, which we call on-the-job training from that standpoint. And when it gets into the construction engineering or the construction phase of work of like this nature, it's to be a journeyman and be on the job and learning how to pick up a hammer and drive a nail without stubbing your toe is extremely important from that standpoint. But in the United States, as an example, in some of the records that are available, the National Association of Home Builders, that's the NAHB, November Alpha Hotel Bravo, or we talk about it. They did a statistical analysis a year back or so, and where do the workers come from in the construction industry? And throughout their survey, throughout various portions of the United States that they took a look at, about 53% of the construction workers in various capacities come from the country to the south of us down in Mexico. The next one that's sort of significant is that 32% of the workers come from the Americas. Those are all the countries that are in, you know, North America and South America from that standpoint. From Asia, we get about 6.5%. In Europe, we have about 7%. Europe is rather interesting because back in the early 1900s, the United States was allowing immigrants to come to the United States without papers, so to speak. They were passing through Ellis Island and also coming through San Francisco. And that is because the United States need a tremendous amount of laborers in order to keep the industrial age moving in an upward direction. So about 7% was coming from Europe. And just for your own personal information, my dad and my mother's family were part of that immigration that took place during the early 1900s. And about 1.5% are from other avenues throughout the world as far as our construction workers goes. So that's quite significant. And many of us know today that there is a lot of activity going on and discussion in various aspects concerning workers that are coming into the United States to go to work. So in Tucson itself, what are we doing in Tucson? Well, when I was in junior high and high school, we had what we called vocational arts available. You can get involved with drafting. You can get involved with electrical, steel work. You get an auto mechanics and tremendous home economics. Most people don't even know what home economics is today, but you can learn about how to manage your money. You can learn how to cook. You can learn how to iron, look how to wash clothes. I mean, that sounds pretty trivial for many of us today, but, you know, there's many people, they don't even know where to put the 25-cent piece in the coin slot in order to turn on a laundry machine or a dryer if they're going to go out someplace, let alone try to put the hose on a spigot and get all that stuff to work. So what's happening in Tucson in this or in the state of Arizona in years past, not too far back, but they created JTED in order to take over for the vocational arts. And there are several activities that are going on to try to develop young people to work in these fields. And if any of you have been out there hiring plumbers these days or contractors to do work and you wonder why the price is so high, well, as we well know, things seem to fluctuate with supply and demand. And you want it done yesterday because your planning wasn't sufficient to take hold of that. And right now, I know some of the workers are 3, 4, and 5 months out. And I do know of one contractor that he's got individuals waiting for him, and he's about 6, 7 months out, because they do not want anybody else to do their work. So JTED right now, and I don't know all the particulars on it, I'll try to find out for it in the future, is being associated with the University of Arizona. And my understanding is that there are also some philanthropic organizations that are getting involved to assist in the development of a major vocational arts facility in the University of Arizona Center, off of Palo Verde, I believe it is, associated with 36th Street in that general area where the so-called Tech Park is. There is some buildings there at the present time. And the unique feature of that land, from my standpoint, there used to be a dirt airport there. And many people of years past may remember that. When I say a dirt airport, yes, folks, it was a dirt runway. if you can believe in flying airplanes off of a dirt runway. Anyway, that's some of the things that are going on with the construction industry, and that's why we have people that are so busy today, and you have a hard time getting your jobs done. Some of the major construction occupations are such, you know, just laborers that will clean up and do various things from that standpoint. And the immigrant share, of which I'll be talking about right here to show you what's really taking place in the United States. The construction laborers, 37% of them are immigrants. If you're looking at some of the more serious trades like plasterers, stuccos, people, and masons, and that may be some foreign terms to a lot of people. I am very much familiar with that process of construction, but 54% of those people happen to be immigrants. Immigrants from that standpoint. Drywall installers. As we know, we have many drywall companies in Tucson. Ceiling tile installers. We see a lot of that in the commercial industry. And they call another field called tapers. Well, when you put drywall up, you have to have somebody tape the joints so you have a nice, smooth-looking wall. And 49% of those people are immigrants. Painters. And I know many people don't know too much about this, but how about wallpaper hangers? I've done a little bit about that about myself, and that's a very interesting field. But 48% of those individuals are immigrants also. We're all associated with this because we walk on them on a daily basis. But you got carpeting, you got flooring, tile, the installers or the finishers of it. And 46% of the tile setters that we have or flooring people that install the various aspects of it, the vinyl, the luxury vinyl that's also available today. So 46% of those are immigrants. We did have an individual come in the store this past week that wanted to know where he could get a hold of the old-fashioned oak wood flooring. And when I say old-fashioned oak wood flooring, we're talking about the 3/4-inch tongue and groove flooring, about 2 1/4 inches in width, so to speak, depending upon what your terminology is. And they come in random lengths to make it look like they're planks. So there is a location in town that can supply that. He was looking for 3,000 square feet of hardwood flooring that they needed to be laid in a very old home because it was sort of destroyed in various aspects, and they're trying to bring it up to the likable standards it was when it was originally built. So there still are people around that can do things like that. Roofers. Boy, we all need roofers every now and then to patch up the leaks we may have. 45% of those individuals are immigrants. Brick masons. They use the term masons to put bricks or blocks. CMU is a concrete masonry units. And that's what we call masonry. They have to use reinforcing iron and a lot of rebars in order to develop the system that they need, especially for lintels that goes atop of doors or windows. 39% are immigrants. The next one is not too extensive, but explosives with workers in ordnance handling and experts in blasters. Believe me, folks, if you have any blasting to do, you better make sure you know what you're doing. It can be extremely hazardous and dangerous to not only you, but to the rest of the area around you. So 38% of those are immigrants. Insulation workers, another one of the dirtiest jobs to install insulation, whether it's bad or blown in, whatever it may happen to be. 37% are immigrants. Concrete finishers, terrazzo workers, which can do various things with the concrete or put a nice top coat on top of your concrete to make it look very pretty, 33%. And fence erectors, you know, putting up those steel fences or concrete fences, whatever it may happen to be, 33%. And it looks like that 33% of any of these career fields I just talked about are from the immigrant status. And many of us who have been around Southern California and Arizona know at one time period that we used to have an immigrant program that the workers could come in and work and do various activities from that standpoint. Folks, we're completing the third segment. We are transmitting on AM 1030 The Voice with your trusted local news and talk, and we'll see you after the next break. Welcome back to the Hammer Time Radio Show. I am Maurice Cerrone, transmitting in the A. Henny Manshaven Radio Studio on AM Frequency 1030, The Voice, with your trusted local news and talk. If you have any questions you'd like to put forth to me today, I'd appreciate it at 520-790-2040. The next little thing I'd like to talk about is homes that basically deliver all sorts of innovation for the customer. And a while back, the Renewable Living Home Project, which was sponsored by the Builder Magazine, which is a trade magazine, and Ameritage Homes, many of us have heard of that because they do develop and build home areas in Tucson. There is a rating called the HERS Index. I'm unable to locate what HERS really stands for, but it has to do with the renewable energy efficiency that is measured by an industry standard for homes that will provide innovation and performance for the conservation of your energy, as well as reduce the carbon footprint, and will have the overall effect of reducing your energy bill. And our energy bill basically today probably is associated with our water consumption as well as our electrical usage from that standpoint. As we know that solar energy is being developed at a very rapid rate, we're definitely trying to solve the water issues, especially in our hot, dry climate down here in southern Arizona. I know that from the time I was in school to even today, they've been working on water solubilization in order to take the sea and ocean water, develop it into potable water from that standpoint, and pipe it to where it needs to go. And, of course, Tucson is in a pretty good location of southern Arizona because we can come right out of the Baja area down there and bring everything up in here to help us with that. But that has been going on, and the University of Arizona has been working on that for years. And I can say I remember major activities associated with that back in the late 1950s and the 1960s concerning water salinization in order to provide potable water. So the estimated monthly savings that they suspect if you build a HERS-rated a green home can be in excess of $450 per month. And you multiply that times 12, and you multiply times 30 years if you have to stay in your house, and you can really see the savings associated with it. And there's many, many factors involved in developing a green home. It just isn't doing some little minor things. Everything that is accomplished is very, very important. So keep that in mind if you happen to be building a new home you're concerned with the energy consumption. And I remember back in the college days, we were talked about that utilities are going to have everybody's difficulty as time goes on for the simple reason I don't think I've ever seen the cost of utilities reduced in monthly rates. Today we have a lot of other things that are associated with it. You may include your phone bill, your TV bill. You may include such activities as your refuse or garbage hauling away and taking care of all those things. I know I have seen garbage expenses on a quarterly basis approach $160 a quarter. So those things can get to be quite expensive in managing your own activity level and balancing your budget at your own home. So keep some of those things in mind. There are various small things that you're able to do to conserve energy. And I know one of them that is very important is when you're not in a room, turn off the lights. That seems to be a very strange concept. I do know that when you had incandescent lights, as an example, the more you cycled those lights or even fluorescent lights, that they would tend to burn out sooner than if you just left them on. But of course, with the higher cost of electrical usage per kilowatt hour, it was not advisable. You may also want to think about solar lights that on the roof of your home. That could be a great asset in providing a light during the daytime or in the dusk and dawn area where you do not have to light up all the lights. But with LED lights today, that may be one avenue of going, because that uses 12 volts instead of 120 volts and also becomes very, very important. So when you're out working the home areas, whether you're buying or selling or whatever it may happen to be, or remodeling, so become an informed home buyer or a DIYer. Keep that in mind in the insulation of the walls. And one other little technique, or I should say a pertinent information for you, is that 80% of your heat loss and heat gain in a home is vertical. I know people who have listened to this program for a while know that I've talked about that. That's what we learned in school. And in checking in with various architects today, that still is very, very important. So if you're really going to insulate something and protect it, think about your area between your ceiling and the roof on the outside. Reflective roofing on the outside is also very, very important. And the more that you can reflect, the better you are. So 80% of your heat loss, as we all know, that heat in a home rises, or your heat gain, which means that when the 120-degree weather comes around Tucson here and starts blasting the top of your roof, that if you don't have good insulation, you are going to have trouble cooling your home. Because when you start cooling your home, guess where the cool air goes? Well, it goes to the floor. I don't think very many of you would like to crawl around on your floor all day long in order to stay cool. You may want to go outside and get a hose on you, or put an outside shower in it so you can go out and get wet. Energy consumption, that's very, very important. Off-site production of various types of activities may be an asset to you also. Anyway, so keep that in mind in order to keep your energy costs down, that you can not get eaten up alive as time goes on because of the utilities of your home. So one of the other things that we have at A Handyman's Haven, as most of you know, have listened to this program for some time, we sell cabinets. We design the arrangement of cabinets for your home. And some of the cabinetry that we use, they have no way of opening and closing the doors because our fingers are just too big. And even some of the young people's fingers are even too big to get them in between where the opening devices are. So they require hardware to put on your doors or drawer fronts. We call them handles, or we call them knobs. And there is many, many arrangements and facets of hardware available. We do carry many lines of hardware down at A Handyman's Haven. So come on down, give us a whirl, and take a look at what we have available. And you may be able to find something that is economically priced from that standpoint that will be good for your home. They are very, very important, and they are basically needed in a lot of aspects. I do know we have customers that come in and request no handles and knobs on their cabinetry, and we can set you up with that item also. We can also basically put some hidden handles and knobs in. We also have the capability to put magnetic latches, so nobody knows where the unlatching device is. It's all controlled by magnets. And hopefully, if you have a good memory, you can remember where that latching device is in order to open and close the door. I know a few years back, we built several liquor cabinets for a customer that they wanted to have magnetic latches on it so the children in the home could not play around with those doors. Lots of activity at A Handyman's Haven. Lots of product available. Come on down and see us. The phone number is 790 624 Correction, it's 520-624-7200. Well, coming to the end of our program, folks, it's been wonderful being with you. Thank you very much for listening to us today, and have a great week. We'll see you next Sunday. Enjoy.